China Corner is proudly brought to you by the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in Namibia.
Welcome to this July session of the China Corner on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. For tonight's session, we have lined up an interesting lineup of guests who recently formed part of a youth delegation to China. Their visit happened between 17 and 23 May, and they also, like myself, had the opportunity to visit the province of Jiangxi and the city of Shanghai. The three main sites or cities that the delegation visited were Nanchang City and Wuyuan, and later on, Shanghai itself. The visit coincides with the 2026 shared approach by Namibia and China of enhancing the people-to-people program. The exchange focused mainly on educational, cultural, and the shared history of the two countries and the major projects that are being constructed or developed in Namibia by major Chinese development corporations. Visits to various sites and engagements lay ahead for the Namibians on tour, from visiting the Tang Wung Pavilion to understanding the deep cultural preservation that is at the heart of the various particular cultural sites that they had the opportunity of visiting. Now, for our first engagement, we speak to Robert Maseka and Jackson Hinamito, both featuring media, cultural, and creative spaces for our first engagement this evening. And after them, you will hear from experienced Namibian creative who mostly specializes in filmmaking in the filmmaking industry, Joel Haikale. You will hear from the experiences and perspectives from the two on what key takeaways and innovations or ideas that they saw that can be applied or implemented in Namibia from the exposure on their recent trip to China. We have a listen, firstly, to Maseka and Hinamito, specifically about their perspectives and also the experiences in terms of the recent visit that they experienced.
And welcoming to this July session of China Corner here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM, I'm joined by another wonderful panel of Namibians, and specifically also Namibians who in this scenario can give us a youth-based perspective in terms of their recent visit also to China. Just like myself, they also had the opportunity of seeing historic sites, cultural sites, in primarily also trying, interacting also with media, organizations on the other side, and thus also experiencing a south-to-south kind of exchange based upon cultural youth, as well as also potential innovations in terms of the discussion we've got planned for today's session of China Corner. On this session, I'm joined by Mr. Jackson Hinamito and also by Mr. Robert Hinamito. Thank you, Jackson. And also by Mr. Robert Maseka. Guys, thank you for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners for this evening's session. And, you know, could you do a small little brief introduction about who you are? Let's start with you, Jackson.
Okay, good. Thank you. My name is Jackson Hinamito, and I'm professionally known as Jackie Pop. I'm an actor and filmmaker, and I run an award-winning film production company called Film Icon. That is a growing international footprint. Thank you, sir.
100%, Jackson. Now, if we take a look also on your side, Robert, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your particular setup in the youth perspective?
Thanks, Ronan. Yeah, my name is Robert Maseka. I run a national youth organization. It's called Rob Youth Foundation. In all the 14 regions, we have structures in all the 14 regions of the country. Apart from that, I'm also into the media space. I run online publication called African Youth Newspaper.
100%, guys. Thank you for those contributions right there. Now, firstly, starting off on this particular conversation, our discussion obviously has to look at the impressions in terms of the recent trip that you guys also had the opportunity of experiencing, of going to China, and specifically with seeing the two cities of Nanchang and Shanghai. Just about your impressions in terms of, you know, seeing into your particular role that you play in a youth scenario in the Namibian youth landscape, what impressions did you guys firstly have specifically around cultural sites? On your side also, Jackie, looking at cultural and media, and on your side specifically, Robert, potentially looking at, you know, media and other particular information-based platforms. You know, what did you guys first observe, and then your impressions about the visits to these two cities? Can we start with you again, Jackson, or first with Robert this time?
Yeah, no, thank you. I think the trip was an eye-opener in terms of maybe I'll start with the youth perspective. If you look at in Namibia, I feel like the youth are not really more invested into culture, knowing more about the culture preservation, and so forth. So for me, I think I've learned a lot in terms of making sure that China has done very well in making sure that the young people learned up to date with what about the culture of the country and also the history, because culture and history, it's very key to the nation. So culture have invested mostly, China is invested mostly into making sure that the culture is being preserved and also the history for the young generation to learn. And also the interest of the young people, it's so impressive to see young people invested in making sure that they learn more about the culture of their country. I think just in short, I'll come in later on and also just to share more.
100%. On your side, Jackson, what was your first impression specifically in terms of the visit?
Yeah, for me, this was an eye-opening experience. I was deeply impressed by the country's ability to preserve its rich cultural heritage. Such elements are very important to the business or the world of cinematic storytelling. Like, for instance, in Manchang, I was very impressed by their historical cultural significance and all the sites that we visited, the stories behind, and just the fact that some things look old, they're said to be old, but then when you look at them, they are still having a good look. They are still in the good state, meaning they are well maintained and well protected. And then on the other hand is Chiang Mai. That is a very big city. I love it. With so many lights, and it showcases China's economic growth and world-class infrastructure. I'm always fascinated by China's development. Although this was my fourth visit, by the way, but it still feels like my first, because there is always something new to discover in China.
And just on that particular note, guys, I'm just slipping in a slight question here based upon, for example, cultural sites, cultural preservation, and also, you know, how this plays a particular role. For example, what were your impressions, guys, of the Tang Wing Pavilion? Something that potentially is almost like 5,000 to 6,000 years old. How do you look at that particular scenario in terms of preservation of historic sites, for example?
Maybe I could come in just to speak on that point. I think it's very impressive, because if you look at the building itself, you not even believe that it's more than 500 years. So it shows how the country invests into making sure that the infrastructure are being looked after, and a lot of investment has been put into, because they understand its importance. Because for them, culture is not about just identity; it goes beyond that. Through that, they are making sure that the country benefits through employment, the site to be able to create, and also just tourism for to make sure that more people comes into the site to come and visit, and also just make sure that the country is being marketed to the world there to come and see. So mostly making sure that the building is preserved by making sure that more investment is done to keep it into the state that they want it to be. And just to make sure that as much as the country is evolving in terms of being modern, they still make sure that they keep, they preserve the culture and so forth.
You are correct, Robert. My apologies specifically. I said 5,000 years in terms of age, because I was also at that pavilion itself. It technically is almost more than 1,000 years. So in essence, yes, it does still have some sort of historic, the historic entrenchment or the historic anchor is already there. So it obviously speaks volumes, the site itself. On your side, Jackson, what did you see specifically in terms of obviously that culture does feed into an aspect in terms of how they meet the youth also interacts with sites like Tang Wung Pavilion? But there probably were other things that you also saw, you know, other smaller, minute details, other dimensions. What could you share what they possibly were?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. In regards to that, this just reminds me of something that we're discussing with Joel on the trip when we're looking at these elements. We came to realize that what China is doing is something that Namibia can also do, because the fact that they are preserving their culture and all this history and the way that they are maintaining it, they are currently capitalizing on it, meaning that we are visiting their places now to see them, to hear their stories. There's so many people that want to hear that about other people's culture, other people's languages, other people's way of living. So Namibia can really learn so much from China in regards to cultural preservation and everything that has to do with all the ways of living and connecting to the modern lifestyle.
Yes.
Like in my regards, my aim is to inspire young people to think globally while contributing to national development. So my participation in this trip was really a good opportunity, and it really richly contributed to my knowledge.
Yep, 100%. Leading into the next particular question, guys, from these impressions that you've both now gathered, we obviously have to look at the scenario of with regards to youth interventions in a Namibian context. What takeaways do you guys think can be adopted, can be learned, probably also sort of like changed and thus also uniquely used or adjusted to a Namibian scenario? What takeaways do you guys think we can adopt from there?
I think that's a very good question. In terms of making sure that there's lesson that we can take from the trip, that we can maybe in the future, I believe we can do more of, if we can have more youth exchange programs where young people can be able to travel to China and then learn. I think cultural exchange is key, because it also builds mutual cooperation and trust between country. Because for you to share more knowledge, skills, you need to be able to have that relation. So I think young people should be able to invest into making sure that programs like cultural exchange, media initiative where young people can go and learn about in different aspects, like in media, culture, education, innovation. Because if you look at the site that we went, Nachang offers mostly the cultural aspect that we can learn from China. And then if you go to Shanghai, then you see innovation, technology. You see the world is evolving, in, especially China is, has advanced in terms of technology. We need to make sure that we need to capitalize on the relationship that we have with China to make sure that we can also get more knowledge on their technology. Technological advancement. So we should be able to use the relationship that we have with China to make sure that the young people can acquire the necessary knowledge that we can then plow back into the countries for the benefit of the young people and just Namibia in general.
I wanted to also add in there, guys, specifically if you, just before we get to you, Jackson, that in some cases, have you guys seen how many locals actually visit some of the cultural sites and as well as also some of the, what we would consider here in Namibia as touristy sites. So yeah. I just wanted to get your particular, for both of you, your particular impressions on that before we get back to Jackson on his side of what you just answered, Robert.
Yeah, no, I think you really made a very good point. I was so impressed that the local people are, you see, the most tourists that I saw there, maybe 70% are local. So, which is so impressive. If you compare to Namibia, we don't see the need for us to visit like our cultural heritage site, our museum and all those stuff. So I think we need to look into that as a nation. I think we're failing a bit. We need to try to invest more into making sure that we change the perspective, perspective for how we look at culture, the importance of culture. Our heritage site and museum should not be only for the international tourism. So we should be able to make sure that it should cater for the local people. So I would not say maybe the young people or the local people are not really interested. I think we need to look into how do we make it more attractive for the local people to be able to also be interested to visit our site. I think we need to, the lesson that I learned is that we need to do more investment in making sure that our sites, our heritage, cultural sites, we need to do more investment in that. And also, if you look at China, if you look at this Jiangxi province that we visited,
So
you see that different towns have different cultural site, or heritage site. But if you look at in Namibia, we have 14 regions in the country. But if you go to other towns, we don't even have any site people can go and visit. So we need to make sure that we need to work on to making sure that we invest more in terms of the cultural I don't know which way to
can. You can say cultural economy, because I think that's what you want to get.
Cultural economy. We need to put more investment into that economy to make sure that it also grows. Because the more we have this site in different regions, the more we create employment. It will really play in terms of making sure that it contributes to job creation in the country, but we don't look at it that way. So we need to start changing our mindset of what are the importance of this site, the cultural site. We should not just see it as a as an attraction to only to the international tourists. We should invest in making sure that the local tourists should also grow.
100%. So back to you, Jackson. Also, we start with the first question in terms of what takeaways do you think you can possibly adopt, or you feel that Namibians can adopt in terms of the visits that you saw in Nanchang and in Shanghai? And then the second part of that is ultimately, if you had to look at how locals, specifically local Chinese, supported cultural and tourism activities. Jackson?
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for the question.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so I want to speak on, especially from my angle in regards with the media and film that I come from, in regards with what we can learn from China. I think preserving our culture is something that we need to do, and then maybe promote it through film and media, as China is doing this. I strongly believe that it's something that they are also promoting through their film and media. Like most of the things that I've seen with my eyes, I've seen them before in the movies, especially through the movies of Jackie Chan. So I think like film is one of the powerful ways, films and media is one of the most powerful ways to promote our cultural heritage and all that our country has to offer. Because media is very powerful.
100%.
So what was the other question again?
The other question then looks at specifically, if you look at in the consideration of media and filmmaking, specifically how you see that the particular investment into cultural identity, meaning it's Chinese stories told for Chinese audiences, and thus the audiences easily consume the particular media, the particular content, the particular film, so on and so forth. What impressed you about the resilience factor that they support their particular own productions and own content creation?
I'm sorry, you were cutting. I didn't get the question.
Oh, let me repeat again. So
please repeat that last part.
Yeah.
The last part. Yes.
So it's based upon how, what impressed you in terms of how they support and how they develop storytelling from media to filmmaking to content creation, specifically for audiences, for Chinese audiences themselves to consume and to support the particular productions that you've also observed and seen.
Okay, great. Thank you. I don't know how they go about their way of preserving their cultural heritage, but by the look of things, we can really see that there are a lot of people that are involved in making all that happen, especially by taking care of things. This means that it's a lot of people that come together with different skills, those that are generally just on preserving and those that are on promotion. So I think this, in regards with media, this is where we come in now, we as the media people, and then contribute to that by promoting it. While others are preserving the culture and taking care of what is there, then we come in to promote it through film, media, and all that. But then the takeaway here is how the people are working together in order to reach a common goal, which can also contribute to the economy of the country, and also at the world at large, as we are visiting these countries and interacting with each other. So film and media and cultural exchange, of course, through these, people can learn from each other, share stories, and build lasting relationships. That's what I think from my point of view. And I just hope I've answered the question.
100%. No, you did, Jackson. No, you did. Just for both of you gentlemen, as we obviously sort of like wrap up our discussion, just from a conclusionary remark from each one of you in terms of if you look at this particular if you look at the particular visit, the particular exposure that you had, are there things that you feel that can be adopted in the near future? And finally, What would you want to share with fellow youth members who would be listening to this particular session of China Corner, where we're talking about how the youth can get involved in certain particular aspects, which in some cases some people call low-hanging fruits, like participating in media, participating in content creation, participating in filmmaking, or in other particular cultural productions in an everyday scenario? Either one of you can go first.
Okay, yeah. Robert just said something very interesting. He said the world is growing rapidly, and it's very growing rapidly, totally, because this is what we have seen during our visit to China. We have seen how things are really on a whole different level, and it's very important that we evolve with it. As the world is growing, it's very important that we evolve with it. We are also exposed to things like AI. And during our visit in Jiangxi, to a company called the Jiangxi International Economic and Technical Corporation, we were advised, one of my takeaways during that meeting was that we shouldn't allow the AI gap to grow wider in our country. So I think it's very important for young people in Namibia to expose themselves to this AI, and also just to enrich their knowledge concerning AI and to see how they can best use it to contribute to what they are doing in their lives.
100%. On your side, Robert, what can you share on that?
No, thank you. I think that's a very key question that it's very important, especially to the young people. If you look at China, China is now an open economy where especially Africa is really welcomed to really be able to go and learn more about how China even from the start, how do they fight, how do they alleviate poverty? So it took them 8 years to make sure that they brought the poverty alleviation programs to zero. So I think if we can be able to engage more into the different program that we have with China, if we really need to make sure that we invest more into making sure that we get the young people get involved in different initiatives through the China programs, the country will really benefit in different ways. If you look at Jackie spoke about media, so there's a lot of space that we can learn in terms of how China grows. So young people should be able to be in space where they can be able to access the right information on how they can be able to benefit from different programs. So government should also create a platform for young people to make sure that more investment is invested in young people, especially in innovations. I know China is going to host one of the biggest AI conference. I think it's next month. Mm. And also our president is expected to visit China, I think, next month. So there's a lot of opportunity that we can expose our young people to make sure that we can drive our economy to a certain level where we can be on par with China in the future. So it's all about us making sure that we should be able to also take up the front seat as young people. Don't wait for government to do something. You should be able to go out there and then expose yourself to the right information. So we should not always be complaining, no, the government is not doing anything. But there's a lot of opportunities. So, and also the people that get opportunity to travel, we should be able to also create these platforms where we can share information on innovations, cultural exchange in the country. Why should the young people be invested in making sure that they engage in cultural preservations, heritage, and all those? Because once we have most of these infrastructures in place, you'll see that a lot of young people will be able to get job through these different sectors.
100%, Robert. And on that side, guys, thank you for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners here on Eagle FM. Thank you for being part of the China Corner for this evening.
And now we turn to the interview with Joel Haikale, who now highlights to us the experiences and the takeaways that he could identify during his time as well in China recently with the youth delegation from Namibia. Now, also to cite this primarily, particularly if you look at the NDP6 that Namibia is championing since being launched last year in 2025, this also plays a pivotal role specifically in how the creative industry has to position itself in achieving the next particular economic developmental goals for the country. Now we have a listen to what Joel has to say and what he saw and what he thinks can be used in Namibia as possibly as quick adoption from his particular visit also, or his particular trip also, on the same China trip.
And welcoming Joel Haikale from the Creative Industry Institute Africa here in Windhoek, specifically to this evening's China Corner. This is the July session of China Corner. Joel, thank you for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners on China Corner. And obviously, you were also part of the fellow interviewers that I just interviewed, Robert and Jackson, in terms of the recent visit to China, based upon a useful discussion. But however, when it comes to you, it's more in terms of looking at the creative sector, how it plays a particular role in terms of meeting some of the youth needs in Namibia, which is NDP6's goal. But we're not focusing on NDP6, just in terms of, for the listeners to know, could you just tell us a small, in a brief summary, if you can, about specifically your background and your history in working in the creative sector, and potentially just, you know, how you also try to help young creatives achieve their potential.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much for having me. Yes, my background in the creative industry, sort of, for the past little bit over 20 years, specifically within film industry, but also in academic space. I used to teach, be head of TV department for many, many years, but also a lot of people in Namibia know me as a film director and producer. And through that, we were able to, because as you might know, film specifically with one discipline that the production of any film shot along tend to probe, to bring together different skill sets, you know, from...
It's almost like a project management scenario.
Correct, yeah, because then you bring the actual creative, the talent, the costume designers, the electrician. And through that, we were, for the past close to 20 years, we were not only able to provide employment to hundreds of Namibians through our film production company, but also we're able to do... to run a mentorship program with our partners as well in the creative industry. And also, through the Creative Industry Institute, we were also able to, since 2018, publish the Creative Industry Guide, which is sort of providing information about the creative industry ecosystem, specifically focusing on the economic potential of the creative industry. And that was way before now the politic and leadership jump on the, you know.
The one same band, right?
Yes, yes. So that's why we are very, very excited to hear that finally Namibian government also begin to prioritize the creative industry. Mm. Yes.
Now, if this leads us now into our next particular question, because obviously...
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a youth save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 ml Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You save. Where else?
to our next particular question, because obviously besides the people-to-people agenda in terms of how China and Africa wishes to work together, now trying to connect more on a societal level with each other, if we look at the recent visit specifically to China where you and the team were exposed to Nanchang City and Shanghai City, just what were your first impressions from a filmmaker, a creative perspective in terms of some of the things that you see, and primarily what could be sort of like takeaways? Even though I'll ask the takeaway question again at the end, but just some takeaways that you observed.
Yeah, thank you. I think it was really, really fantastic to be part of the delegation to China last month. For me, that was the third time, but this time was very different because the focus and the exposure was around culture and, for most part, of the creative industry. And I was very fascinated to learn and just experience how somehow China as a society found a way to industrialize without losing their identity, their heritage, their cultural heritage. In fact, one can even argue that they were able to build on that. And this, you see, it seems to be sort of like the anchor and the center of which they build. And this is really one thing where there seems to be consensus among everyone that we meet. So it was quite common in every place where we went for people to say, oh, you know, this is an ancient, they use this word a lot, ancient China, you know. This is, and when ancient China, we're talking about more than 500 years.
Oh no, I discovered now with Robert and Jackson, I incorrectly stated that the Teng Wang Pavilion was 5,000 years old. It technically was 1,000 something years old, which still standing, had been built, I think it had been burnt down like 6 or 7 times in between. But you've obviously also seen the models and the young people around that scenario in terms of just the creatives there.
Correct.
Yeah. So if you look at that, what do you see can we use in an urban context?
Thank you. I think for me, looking at that, what we really could learn and certainly use from that is how we can draw and learn from our ancestors, so to speak. Because really what it means, and I think China is using this to give themselves a competitive edge. You know, for us, anything else, one can argue that anything you do now, it's been done already anywhere, mostly in the West. But the one thing that's not done, it's something that comes from our culture. And it's because our culture, by religion or by colonialism or by anything else, it was pressed down as something irrelevant, something not worth looking at.
But now, not protected.
Yes,
even, yeah.
But now we could use that unknown world to compete in the world, because only us can be experts in this, whether in terms of our traditional indigenous architecture of building houses, you know, making clothes, preservation of materials, and also just how we remember the stories. I think that is one thing we can learn. Two, what we can learn from China, particularly when it comes to the people-to-people year, which is this year, is the power of storytelling.
Yeah.
These guys, and by these guys I mean the Chinese people collectively, they fantastic at telling story. Because when you go there, you see people from other countries as well coming, and everyone who comes, they tell you their story. Because when you, the power of storytelling is that if I tell you my story, you begin to empathize and sympathize with me, because you feel you know me now. If something happened to me,
there's a bond.
Yes, if something happened to me, like, oh no, I know this guy. And I feel this is what they've been doing really well, that everywhere we go, they say, this is us, this is what we used to eat, this is how we build, this is how we, you know, you get the picture. And from that, you begin to see each other as human beings. Because I think, remember before this, a lot of people, the only Chinese they see is the one that's constructing road, bridge, dams, you know, and they never really this human
to human connection.
Yeah. And I think initiatives such as this one, I think it does it, and I think Namibia can also play, you know, do this. And the one industry and one sector that can do it in Namibia is a creative industry, you know, because not only that we are equipped, we are passionate enough, and this is really where we come in. From the China side, you can tell that there's also investment that goes into that, because when they're telling these stories, there's, you know, resources available to those people that are taking us around, that telling us the story. Every town you go, there's a person waiting to take you through. true. There's a translation wherever you go, they give you this little
translation.
On your, so that you really, the information, nothing is lost. So I think this is really one thing that you can learn from. And I think also for me, this is a way culture and creative industry meets tourism. Because I can also imagine, and I think that's an opportunity, what I saw also for Namibia is to tap into that to over 1 billion people in China to also come as a tourist to, you know, experience Namibia. And there's a lot of similarity on how we do things, the family values. Mm. And I think, again, these are the things that I feel Namibian musicians, filmmakers, painters, theater practitioners could really, you know, learn from and emulate, provided there's a, you know, financial support also from the leadership. Yeah. Mm.
So, but also in a scenario, the storytelling component you highlighted, we obviously also know the exportation of storytelling from specifically Asia, because there's obviously China, there's who's a powerhouse, there's South Korea, there's Japan. So we've known about these storytellings. In terms of those particular takeaways, because I actually forgot to ask you about Shanghai's particular impression on you, because Shanghai itself is also a particular commercial center in China that has a strong cultural, sort of like strong cultural importance in that cultural scene. In Namibia, we also have it across the country. In terms of that particular comparison, what you see in two different sites, Nanchang City, Shanghai City, each one different. Namibia has different locations. How do you see we can also try and strengthen the particular cultural, if I could call it, hub of each town, each city?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's definitely a contrast between the countryside China and then a big city such as Shanghai. Which it's one of the highest tall buildings, and you know, so that was quite impressive. And for me, that speaks to modern China, you know, speaks to the innovation, like really, but again, built on a foundation of very strong and rich culture, cultural heritage. And in one thing, this time around, because I've been to Shanghai before to attend the Shanghai International Film Festival, and it was really interesting culturally how everything was put together. But this time around, we were also given a tour of, I think, I wanted to say a party's headquarters, you know, but at least when the founding was, you know. What was really interesting about this is how they narrate that transition from that brief colonial, if you want to call it, or sort of foreign oppression by the English, and they sort of like refound a way to, and they tell you from, you know,
chapter by chapter
what happened, and not only telling you, they're showing you videos, they show visuals, they tell you the meeting, they restaged their pioneers when they met. And I think, again, the idea is not so much that you join their party, people's party, but I think also to appreciate what they went through as a country, as a nation, and in the way they were presented to us, so that's sort of like one of the foundation of their unity. And I think, again, this is something we can, maybe not so much necessarily in the political context, but also like how so much happened to this country, but because we haven't found the right way that can bring humility and humanity to our people, a lot of visitors, both business and tourists, come here without really appreciating what the damage that happened to our people.
Yeah,
you know, throughout
history. Have you ever seen, Joel, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in in Inanna? Have you been there?
The shrine.
Yeah, the shrine.
I went twice, it was locked.
but the nice thing is, it's a good thing you're highlighting that specific, because I can see the similarity of things that we also have here in Namibia in terms of that can also, conversations that can be brought forward, particular cultural investment that can emanate from it. The next question that flows from just what you highlighted was the one in terms of, it has a youth intervention dimension again, but what takeaways could you possibly look at in terms of getting young creatives to look at the cultural resources there? You just need to tap into it for storytelling, for ideas to be found, for new creative ways of making clothes or even productions. What do you think, can we connect the two scenarios in terms of having young creatives realize they already sit with a resource that they can find any kind of creative resource from?
Yeah, you know, I think that definitely, perhaps a lot of young people particularly is to, I think, tap into the already self-presenting opportunity in memory economy, what I would call memory economy, which again plays itself in the center of heritage, history, and culture. Because like we said earlier, when you travel from Varambat, it's really clearly visible, the German heritage and history. You'd go to Shark Island, there's only one statue of the Fredericks, if I believe it. We have so many of the German, and everywhere you go to Maru. So everywhere you go through across Namibia, the memory, the visual, visible memory in public space does not give the impression that there were people here in Namibia other than the German, for instance.
Yeah.
And while this could be seen also within the context of history and the trauma and what happened to us, I think it also presents an opportunity, particularly to the younger people. Because when you do that, like I said earlier, on one hand, you're remembering, you conserving, but also you're creating economic opportunity for yourself, for the tourist, and for anybody that comes who just wanna. And also on a social level, you're also rehumanizing, bring humanity to those, you know, humanity was taken, rehumanizing the people. So this is definitely an opportunity. And also the language, interesting enough, the Chinese, we discussed a little bit of the record earlier, that when you arrive there, everything is in Chinese. No, people are not pretending, you know, they're pushing that language, they're eating their food. When you're eating, it's everything. We have eaten so much Chinese food in this round moving tables. And all this thing for me, I see an opportunity, because a lot of us, especially in Windhoek, will be craving for our cultural food if I'm from the south or the north or the west, but there are no restaurants providing me there.
Yeah, accessibility.
This, I hope, and I would like to encourage young people also to see this as an opportunity, because there's a demand. You know, it's just a question of repackaging and bring it back to
So we're looking at accessibility as well as also developing new sectors, because cuisine has always been something that has been key, because every Namibian loves what they eat at home, because they want to see it outside as well, which is a definite benefit. But just on a conclusionary remark scenario, Joel, if we look at the cultural economy in its entirety, obviously from the multiple visits you've had to China, not just this recent one, obviously there has been a strong display, because the display means knowing, okay, this is the story we want to tell and this is how we want to get the story out. There is obviously a definite opportunity in Namibia to do the same. What would you in your eyes think would be the linkage that we can sort of like see from what you've highlighted, from what we've had also now in the conversation so far?
Okay. So our experience obviously was specifically to showcase what China has to offer and the journey that China has traveled, which was quite impressive on its own. But I think if I were to advise anybody who would be given the same opportunities, really to say, look, China is clear on what they want to show you, but be clear on what you want to learn from there that would, you know, help you to move forward. And for me, one thing specifically that I saw within that friendship is China also announced, I think that they will, what's the English word, do away with the import,
the zero tariff,
and I think this is incredible opportunity to test, and we'll see what that means and what this could mean for film. For years, when I go to China, they had one of the restrictive barriers for any film or entertainment from anywhere in the world.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Feel more entertainment from anywhere in the world. Mm. If we have this window to get in this over 1 billion market, you know, it might be a question of, I think first it's a question of to be prepared to and flexible to translate our content into Chinese so that people can also consume better.
Yeah.
And also to prioritize content which align immediately with their values, because they're very specific value in this stuff that they don't like to show. Mm-hmm. But there's such an incredible opportunity for so-called small markets such as ourselves, because as a creatives, one of the biggest challenges is access to the market for our creative products. And now here we have a giant market which say, look, you can do that for free. Mm. I think this is something worth interrogating. And with the understanding that the president is going to be traveling there, I think this is something that really worth really to have a black and white light, really to say, look, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, to say that this is free now, can I just move with Namibian films and distribute across China? You know, so I think that's an incredible opportunity.
100%. Joel, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to talk to us and our listeners here on this evening's China Corner session. So once again, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Not a problem.
Now, this has been the China Corner on this first Wednesday evening of July here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. And you had the opportunity to hear what youthful Namibians can try to adopt and use from their recent visit to China. This specifically taking a focus at the cultural as well as also the educational dimensions and what potentially can be immediately identified in order to help with the particular developmental goals that Namibia obviously has. Now, this particular visit is also similar to what I myself experienced back at the end of last year, 2025, with regards to rural development and the key takeaways that me and my team, or my group basically, saw and witnessed for the first time.
China Corner was proudly brought to you by the Embassy of the People's Republic of China in Namibia.